yet the context in which the verse or verses are found. We are good at doing this in life. We may hear something, repeat it, when we have actually, as I was saying, we're often too good at taking a verse and not looking at the context in which the verse or verses are found. We're good at doing this in life. We can see something and make assumptions. We may hear something, we can repeat it, and we've actually not heard the whole story. Or we've heard it totally wrong because we only hear what we want to hear. Like this child when he was 8 years old. A child psychologist had phoned his home concerning some school stuff. Obviously the call was meant for his mum, not him. He yelled across the house, "Mum, there's a psycho on the phone!" He'd heard the beginning of the word, but not the ending. Or the story about the pastor's son who told his teacher that his dad got into a dress every Sunday and yelled at people. I hope the teacher understood what he meant. Duncan hasn't yet got to that stage.
We live at home. We live at home.
Oh, you might. So while Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness, might seem to be a very positive thing, and it is, God had his reasons for saying this in Jeremiah 23. And the stuff going on to prompt him to say this wasn't good at all. So let's look at the verses prior to him saying this. Jeremiah 23 verse 1 says, "Woe to the shepherds that are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord." Shepherding was a lowly job and came at great risk. We read about David, who killed wild animals with his bare hands when he was a shepherd. Sheep aren't very smart, and they'll wander off on their own if not looked after correctly. They need taken to green pastures and water. The shepherds referred to here were the leaders, kings, priests, prophets, who were expected to look after the people of Israel. But Israel was in a bad way. These so-called shepherds were leading the people astray. These leaders were allowing their people to be scattered. Sorry, my keyboard opened up. These leaders were allowing their people to be scattered, opening them up to be preyed upon. The people were setting up false gods, marrying outside their own people, etc. Everything that went against what God had instructed them, and God had had enough of it all. These were his people, his flock, and it was his pasture. These were not good shepherds, and God was about to punish them. He was going to freeze them out and take over the care of his flock, himself, and send in his own leaders. It's a salutary reminder that being in leadership is not only about having a position. Leaders are accountable to God, and as you can see here, he will take back his flock and send others in if shepherds are not doing their job. Many churches have closed, especially during these past few years, because churches didn't reach out to their congregations during COVID restrictions, and their flocks have scattered. My German friend will not go back to her church because the priest refused to go and visit people in hospital when COVID restrictions were in place, even when ministers of religion were allowed in. She'll not go back to church, so that's another fallen by the wayside. The priest hasn't been to see her either, to see why. People still need shepherding when in hospital. People need care. green pastures where they can feed on the word of God and drink from the water of life. My friend's priest wasn't a good shepherd to his flock. In John 10, verse 14, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. He knows his flock and his sheep. His followers know his voice and follow him. He went to the sick and touched the lepers. He wasn't scared. In Luke 15, there's a parable of the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one got lost. But the shepherd went looking for it until he found it and brought it back, rejoicing. Jesus said there'd be rejoicing in heaven over the restoration of the one person who was lost being found and brought back into the fold, rather than over the 99 who didn't need rescuing. God says here in Jeremiah that it is his flock and his people, but it wasn't being cared for. So he was going to send someone who would care properly for the people. Verses 5 and 6 of Jeremiah go on to say, and that's the background to these verses. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, Israel will live in safety, and this is the name by which he will be called, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. Here we have God giving this prophecy about a king coming who will reign wisely and do what's right and just. And this king will be called Jehovah Tsidkenu. This is, of course, pointing to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Imagine the King of Kings, the righteous one, calling himself the Good Shepherd. In John 10, it's like chalk and cheese. Regal and lowly positions. How wonderful is that? Jesus left his throne in heaven to walk among men. But when he was on the earth, he was the King of Kings, but he became a servant, the servant king. So let's look at the word righteous now. What does it mean? Dictionaries say that it is acting in a just and upright manner and doing what is morally right. We rarely use this word in everyday conversation, but we probably use the words self-righteous more, and usually not in a good way. It's usually used for someone who's convinced that they're right in their beliefs and their attitude, and everybody else is wrong. They think they are superior. The Pharisees certainly behaved in that way, and Jesus had no time for their superior attitude or behaviour. They used the law of Moses as a benchmark to threaten and intimidate people. But they also added to the law to suit themselves. However, it's not just the Pharisees who fall short of the mark in their unrighteousness. We all do. As Romans 3, verse 10 tells us, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, verse 23 says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us meets the standards of God, not one of us. We have no right to point a finger at others and point out their sins, because we are all sinners. If we start pointing fingers, be prepared to have fingers pointing at you too. I can be the first to say I'm standing up against injustice or wrong, but I can also become self-righteous in thinking that I'm the one who's right and everybody else is wrong. We need to test everything against what is written in the Bible. Amen. Keep things in context, and talking about Jehovah Tsidkenu without background information would, in my opinion, have been wrong. Jesus alone is prophesied to be the one who will reign wisely with justice and righteousness. And God is the one we answer to. He was the one here who could see the bigger picture, and he decided enough was enough, and he was taking back control. The Lord God is saying here in Jeremiah that he's going to raise up a morally upright leader. This leader would execute justice and bring righteousness to the land. Justice would mean bringing people into a right relationship with God and with each other, and this would produce righteous lives, morally good and upright behaviour. And we should take our cue from Jesus and endeavour to live as he lived. Now, as an aside, which I found interesting, Jehovah Tsidkenu may be a wordplay on the name Zedekiah, which means Yahweh is righteousness. Jeremiah was a prophet during the reign of five kings, and one was Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. King Zedekiah was definitely not righteous, and he led the people of Judah into an unholy alliance with Egypt against Babylon, and that resulted in Jerusalem being destroyed. This wordplay shows that God is supplanting the unrighteous Zedekiah with a better king who is righteous in all of his ways. So how can we become righteous? One of the Beatitudes says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Romans 1 verse 17 says, "The righteous shall live by faith." So how can we get this righteousness? Isaiah 61 verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Jehovah Tsidkenu came to this fallen world. He died on the cross to secure our salvation by giving his body up to be nailed and hung there, with his blood shed in such a horrific way, in full sight of the mockers and the self-righteous leaders. He died because he loved us so much. God knew there was nobody else who was perfect, just and righteous, who could atone for our sins. He knew this was the only way. When we confess our sins and come to him asking for forgiveness, he welcomes us into his family. He becomes our personal saviour, our friend, our rock, our provider, our healer, our bridegroom. He covers us with a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness. He forgets our sins and sees us as a righteous people. We won't be perfect on this earth. We may at times be self-righteous. We may not lead the flock properly to green pastures all the time. We will let him down, but he will still be Jehovah Tsidkenu. Yes. As a just God, he may at times discipline us. I'm sure many of us have heard him say in your ear, "You really shouldn't have said that. You really shouldn't have done that. That really wasn't very kind. What makes you think you're better than him or her?" But if we follow him closely, read his word, the Bible, talk to him and listen to him carefully, he will lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, as it says in Psalm 23. We live in a world where leaders are out for themselves with their own agendas. They lead their people astray. We need to speak out against this with truth and justice as our core values. There is such a thing as righteous anger, being angry at things that are against God's word and his will, as God was in Jeremiah 23. I'm Scottish, and Scotland is lowering the age from 18 to 16 years for those who want to say they're not a man but a woman, and vice versa. God made man and woman in his image. Yet how many of us Christians are pointing people to the Bible and to this truth? I'm glad Westminster government is blocking this. It's wrong, and I'm sure Jehovah Tsidkenu is angry with us also. This is not being political, this is being biblical.
Yes. Yeah.
Putin started the war in Ukraine and sending many of his own conscripts to death while bombing non-military targets. That's surely wrong too. We have people in leadership in churches who don't believe in the virgin birth. How can that be? Do we speak out against that? Or have we become self-righteous in our thinking that we are better than a lot of churches because we have heterosexuals in leadership and won't allow homosexuals to be leaders? We believe in the virgin birth and the Trinity. and we just lead our own wee lives in this nice part of Spain because it's comfortable and easy? Or are we willing to challenge the leaders who would lead us away from God's truth and be righteously angry? We need to be outward looking as well as inward looking. Are we seeking to be righteous in all of our ways? Do we follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Are we going out into the highways and the byways to bring in the vulnerable, those without the lifestyle that we are fortunate to have, those with addictions that they can't control, or are we happy with things just as they are? Do we expect people to come here and meet with us and adapt to our church lifestyle? Or are we going to do the right thing and go out into the community and speak to those out there?
Amen.
Show them by our lives who Jesus is, and then introduce them to church.
Yeah.
Or are we happy to sit in our comfortable homes and church and wait for them to turn up? I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible where Jesus took someone to church, but I do know he met people where they were and changed their lives.
Yeah.
I found this very challenging, as I can often have black and white views. Some of you will have heard that. Acknowledging that only Jesus is the perfect righteousness and judge is not an easy thing. But as we've looked at the names and character of God over these weeks, we get a real insight into how great he is. He's magnificent. He allows us into his throne room for an audience with him. He clothes us with his righteousness, covering us completely with his love, his compassion, his understanding. How can we not want to walk in his righteous ways? How can we not want to trust his plans for us? He knows us, sees us, and cares for us. I don't know about you, but it makes me feel very humble when I realize that he chose me. He loves me, and I'm his bride. He looks at me and sees a child of God, not a perfect child, but he loves me nevertheless. I thank God that although my righteousness is as filthy rags, I am clothed with the robe of righteousness he's seen fit to give me. And he'll do the same for you if you know him as your personal saviour. If you don't, talk to someone you trust at the end of the service, and let's lead you into that wonderful relationship with Jesus. There's nothing like it.
Amen.
It's not always a smooth road, but it's a road with Jesus. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, is the one we can trust to reign wisely, to rule justly, and when all around seems to be falling apart, we have him fighting for us. We just need to follow him, and he will lead us into righteousness, walking in his will. This isn't down here, but I just want to say, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship. I mean, Johnny and Simone talked about it as well. If you don't, it's the best relationship you can ever have.
Yeah.
When you're lonely, when you feel down, when you need somebody there to scream at you, you can scream and shout at the Lord, I've done it, you know, but he's there to comfort you, he's there to be with you, and he loves you no matter what. There's nothing, no more you can do to make him love you more, and there's nothing less you can do to make him love you less. He loves you, full stop. So he is standing at the door today of your heart, and he is knocking, as Johnny said, so, and Simone said, so let him in. He's worth it.